Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Welcome to the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. Please welcome your hosts, Patrick Allen and Matt Verderam.
Welcome in. It's four miserable people here to talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. This is the Arrowhead Addict Podcast. All right. Didn't see that one coming. Thought the Chiefs were going to win against the Chargers. They did not win. So let's just get everybody's initial reaction before we dive in. I'm Patrick Allen. Thank you for joining us. We're streaming all over the damn place. We're on Twitter. We're on a bunch of platforms that the kids use that I don't know about. We're on YouTube, of course. If you're on our YouTube channel, make sure you're subscribed. A lot of you subscribed this week. It was absolutely awesome of you. But we need more. We're closing in on 1,000 subscriptions. We need your support, especially since we're all super, super depressed. I'm going to go around the horn. So let's start with Sterling Holmes. Sterling, initial reactions to the Chiefs being 1-2 and in the basement of the AFC West.
I have found the bottom of the bottle of whiskey that was in my basement. It's very depressing. This is just not a fun loss, especially because you can't just blame the defense. Last week was just so easy to say, all right, they couldn't stop the run. That was the one issue they need to get fixed. They'll be okay. Well, the offense wasn't great. Patrick wasn't great. You have a lot of drops on offense. Defense, while improved, wasn't nothing to write home about. Dan Sorensen still out there getting all of the snaps. Juan Thornhill is nowhere to be seen. Nick Bolton was once again the best linebacker, struggled in pass coverage. Chris Jones was, for the most part, a non-factor. And then Andy Reid, obviously, what happened post-game, being sick and going to the hospital, all around was a very sad, depressing loss.
Yeah, that's right. My bad on that. I meant to lead with Big Red. Andy Reid, if you weren't paying attention or you didn't see, wasn't feeling well after the game, was able to address the team, was in good spirits, but was taken via ambulance to the hospital. Sounds like from some of the reports on Twitter, it was precautionary, but we haven't heard anything since. So we hope that he's doing well, and we're certainly thinking about Andy. And from there, I might as well kick it to our NFL insider, Matt Verderam. Matt, have you heard anything on Andy? And then your initial thoughts on the game?
I haven't, no. So I would say to just, you know, keep waiting for any kind of official news to come out. But it does sound from all accounts that it was precautionary. So that's great news. As far as the game, look, I mean, I think that game is really easy to break down. I mean, if they don't turn the ball over like they're going out of style, they win the game. I mean, that's pretty much it, right? Like, I mean, you turn the ball over four times, three times in the first half, twice in the red zone. Another time, I think they turned it over like the 30, or maybe it was the 35. They were in range for points. That's the game. Now, there's more to it than that, right? Their defense gave up four touchdowns and five red zone trips, and it would have been 5 for 5 if the Chargers could stop illegally shifting, right? I mean, Kansas City's defense in the red zone is so bad. I almost think if you're Spags at this point, you just do whatever it is the opposite of what you were going to do. Like, really, I almost would try that for a game and just see like how that plays out. They can't be any worse. The other side of this, they can't get a pass rush. I don't care that Frank Clark's not there. Like, all anybody talked about this offseason was, man, they are loaded up front. They've got all this depth up front. They can't do anything. They don't touch guys. There was one play. In fact, it was the play. It was first half of the game. Herbert rolled out. He had all day. Like, literally stood in the pocket for like 7 or 8 seconds. Rolls out, throws, and Sorensen actually made a nice play to break up what would have been a touchdown on a deep ball. To me, those are the issues. Like, we can get into all the other stuff. We can talk about the run defense, although it was better today. We can talk about the linebackers and coverage. We could talk about the offense and how they missed on some opportunities. That's all fine. I do not worry about any of this stuff other than two things. They have to get off the field inside the 20-yard line. Have to at some point in time here. And they got to get a pass rush. If they do those two things, they'll be just fine. If they don't, they will not go back to the Super Bowl because those things are so glaring at this point that it's going to submarine you against good teams.
Very succinct, as usual, for Matt Verderam. Matt Connor, also, this is the first time the four of us have been on a podcast since we introduced Matt and Sterling to the show. So very exciting to be doing it live. Matt Connor, the editor of Arrowhead Addict, keeps that machine rolling, keeps you guys informed on a day-to-day basis on everything in Chiefs land. He gets to join us tonight because he's not furiously writing articles because of the early kick. Matt, your initial reaction to the game.
Yeah, you know, I think I feel like everyone else does, a little sad. I will say this. I agree with everything you guys are saying in that the Chiefs are beating themselves. At some point, however, I start to worry. And I don't think this is the point to worry. The NFL season's long. We have 17 games. But at some point, you gotta stop being able to say, well, if it wasn't for that one miscue, if it wasn't for that one penalty, if we didn't have that, like, these guys out for the game, if we weren't beating ourselves up, then, like, you got to be able to overcome that. And so far, you know, these Chiefs could be 3-0, but they could be 0-3. And, you know, my worry is that, you know, if this turns into the Eagles game too, and then the Bills game, and we're looking at 2-3, we're looking at 1-4 or something, you know, the Titans loom after that, et cetera. I'm not panicking at all about the Chiefs, but I'm saying at some point right now we're blanketing the Chiefs with excuses because of their past, and we should be. But this is also a team that a lot of new personnel. It is a new season. Teams are changing the way they play the Chiefs. And so two consecutive trips to the Super Bowl doesn't necessarily mean they're going to take the AFC again unless they can take care of these issues. The good news is they're close to being 3-0 with massive problems to take care of. So, you know, there's a sunny side up to all this, but at some point, I, as a Chiefs fan, I'm getting a little tired of going, if it wasn't for that thing, this, that, or the other, I'm just ready for some execution or, you know, someone to deliver through on those, or even because of those problems.
Yeah, I agree. Look, you know, my take on this game is, I feel not nearly as annoyed, and I should probably, but I'm not nearly as annoyed as I was last week. And I think it goes to Matt's point, Matt Verderam's point of, I was watching a game and I was like, oh, well, they're better. Like, they're the better team. They're just having a comedy of errors to start the game. And when you do that, when you turn the ball over that many times, they were going up and down the field. They were going to score on the pass to Kemp where he bobbled it. I mean, there was nobody. He might have scored right there when he turned around or gotten down to the 1 yard line. I think it's just one of those things where, look, we saw this last year with this team where they would start slow or they wouldn't execute, and they pulled out a bunch of games that they easily could have lost if things didn't go their way. But they've got Mahomes and they've got Tyreek Hill and they've got Travis Kelce. And so more often than not, they won. And it's like baseball in one run ball games or baseball in extra innings, right? It's just, yeah, you might have a streak where you do great and you win, you know, 10 of your 14 one run games or something like that. And that's what the Chiefs did last year. But look, at the end of the day, you can't leave it that close, because then if you do make a mistake, you've got no margin for error. You end up losing the game, and they're starting the season playing, in my opinion, three playoff teams. And they had the ball with a chance to win at the end of their last two losses at the end of the game. It just didn't work out. They have to execute, or they're going to get snake bit by good teams. Verderam, I can tell you got something on deck.
Yeah, I just, look, I'll commit the blasphemy for this fan base. Mahomes also has to be better. He's got, now, it's not his fault they're losing these games. Like, their defense is a tire fire in the red zone. That's why they're losing these games. If their defense was even somewhat respectable inside its own 20-yard line, they might as well just grab everybody by the hand and go skip it into the end zone. I've never seen a defense in my life in the red zone. They don't even get up to third down. It's just like, oh, look at that. It's a touchdown. Hopefully the offense can bail us out. But Mahomes, look, the last pick of the game, you can't make that throw, man. Like, you can't get picked at midfield there. I'm sorry. I get it's desperation. You got to complete a pass. But, like, you're losing 20, 25 yards of field position with that throw. That throw was awful. That wasn't even near Kelsey. And the first one to Kemp, well, Kemp's got to catch that ball. Let's get that out of the way right now. Okay, Marcus Kemp's an NFL receiver. He's got to catch that ball. That being said, why is that a no-look throw? What reason is there for that? And I get we all love this shit, right, with Mahomes because it's all exciting and it's different and it's fun. There's no reason. He's wide open. Just look at him and throw it to him. Like, that's the stuff I do think with the Chiefs sometimes. And that plays just symbolic of this. They're so talented, especially offensively, that they just, they freelance a little bit. There's a little lack of focus. Like, for an example, okay, now he's done this his whole career. DeMarcus Robinson earlier in the game caught a 15-yard pass and literally ran 6 yards backwards. Like, where are you going? What are you doing? Right? Like, this is a man who's been in the league for 6 years and he does this crap. Why are you doing it? And I feel like sometimes there needs to be more accountability, right? Like, we don't know how Andy's feeling health-wise, but if this is a week where Eric Bieniemy maybe has got to take a little more of the load, I hope he chews their ass a little bit this week. Like, enough of this crap. Enough with the turnovers. Enough with Mahomes and his no-look nonsense. If you're trying to look a guy off, that's one thing. Kemp was wide open. So I do think at times here, this is becoming a little bit of an issue. Now, I don't want to, look, the biggest issue is that defense to me on pass rush situations and in the red zone. But offensively, let's be real. If they don't turn the ball over in this game, how many points do they win by? 14? Yeah. They blow them out. This game's not even a game. And by the way, that's the positive side of this. As I believe it was you, Patrick, mentioned, they've played 3 playoff teams to this point. If they don't play like utter crap in the last 2 games, they're 3-0. Easily 3-0, right? But that's the problem. They have played like crap, and they're 1-2. And this is a must-win in Philly. You cannot lose to this team. I'm sorry. Like, you have to win this game. If they lose this game, I mean, you're looking at a major hole in the division. The Raiders are 3-0, Denver's 3-0, and the Chargers already beat you in your building, and they're 2-1. You have to beat Philly.
And you've lost to the Baltimore Ravens, who look like they're going to be a little bit better than people thought they might be with all the injuries that they've had. So let's start getting into some of the specifics of this game. Thank you, everybody. There's a ton of you guys in the chat. Keep the questions coming. We're gonna hit some of these topics. So if you have questions on those topics, that's the time to fire. And so the first thing that we're going to talk about are the turnovers and the Mahomes miscues in a little bit more detail. So, obviously, at the beginning of the game, I didn't start to panic because I was like, well, they can't keep turning the ball over every play, but they tried on every series. Sterling Holmes, what do you make of this? And they've turned the ball over a lot now in the last 2 games. Is this just like one of those things where if this happened in the middle of the season, we'd be like, oh, it's just like a little bit of a lull? Or do you think that this is an issue or that teams are really trying to get the ball out of the Chiefs' hands?
Both. I mean, let's be real here. Remember the Detroit Lions game? Was it 2 years ago? Teams have been doing this against the Chiefs because they know this is their best way to stop them. Mahomes' offense, when they roll, they're going to get yards. They're going to move the chains. The best way to stop them is trying to punch the ball out. We've seen it time and time again. I have no idea how the players don't see it coming. This is what they do. Clyde, you just lost a game last week. Not going to – 2 hands, you're going to get knocked out again? Where's Jerick McKinnon? Come on. I want McKinnon this season, but there needs to be accountability. You guys have said it perfectly. Verderam, I think, broke down, especially the second Mahomes interception perfectly. The first Mahomes interception, I liken it to Duke playing – a D2 school. You know you're going to win at the end. So the first half, you take it easy. You try some things you wouldn't typically try against top-end opponents. Mahomes, like you said, why are you doing that? You don't need to do it. You're trying to make a highlight reel throw. You're trying to make it on Twitter. I don't know what you're trying to do. You don't need to do that. Make the throw. That's kind of my main thought. I'm still irritated with Clyde. I'm ready for Jerick McKinnon season. That's where I stand.
Yeah, and when you do those things right, you're giving these teams that haven't been able to beat you or beat you consistently hope,
right? They're like, we could beat these guys. We could hang with these guys. We could play with these guys. And that's the last thing you want to do. When you're a team as powerful offensively as the Chiefs, you want to come out and smack them in the mouth and be like, yep, you're in for a long day defense. We're the best offense in the NFL. We're going to be going up and down on the field on you all day. So strap in. And instead, you hand them gifts and they're like, we can stop these guys. And you can't. You can't stop them unless they just cough up the football. Matt Connor, it wasn't a good day for Patrick Mahomes. People are going to be talking about, you know, turnovers and the defense. He was 27 of 44 for 260 yards, 5.9 yards average, and the two picks. And you know, the Marcus Kemp one, he still should have caught it. But what is this, you know, I'm sure you're hearing it over at Arrowhead Addict from the trolls. Oh, Mahomes is overrated. He's getting exposed. But what do you make of this bad day from Patrick Mahomes against a kind of a banged up Los Angeles defense?
Yeah. What's really funny, the worst comment I saw was that he was like some sort of offensive version of Frank Clark, who's not worth the big contract that he signed or, you know, whatever. It's like, good, hey, at least does some creativity in that criticism there. I mean, Matt already brought up the points of, like, you know, throwing behind Kemp. He threw behind, you know, Travis Kelce on another, you know, memorable throw. There, you know, there was the errant throw at the very end that everyone was going, where's that even going? What's going on here? It's the kind of late game decision that we remember from Philip Rivers, except this time, you know, we're the one employing the Rivers at that time. Some people are going to say now I'm comparing Mahomes to Rivers. That's certainly not the case. But, you know, I mean, Mahomes is the very reason why we have a chance. But, you know, I think that maybe, you know, what we've been talking about in a positive way is the continuity in leadership for this Chiefs team, right? That we kept Bieniemy, that we kept Kafka, that the only real turnover on the whole coaching staff was McCullough going back to Indiana University to work at his alma mater. And the front office too. The front office had a couple guys who could have went somewhere else, Ryan Poles, et cetera, and they didn't. But I'm wondering if maybe this group is so used to hearing how great they are, how wide open their window is, that maybe the lack of some outside voice coming in and going, you know, you say it's hard to win week after week, but I think we're believing some of our own press at this point. And so to Matt's point earlier, doing like the no look thing when it's not needed, et cetera, it just makes me wonder. Like, it almost makes me wish that there was just a newer voice. And I don't mean coaching turnover. I'm not calling for heads to roll, anything like that. But what you get when you have new perspective in the building is someone who goes, it takes a lot to build a winner. We've got to stay grounded. I don't think that Andy Reid is letting the locker room, you know, sort of, you know, out of touch with reality. I'm just saying this is a popular team with household names. And maybe there's a little bit of buying their own press here in some of the turnover. Let me say this, though, on some of the turnovers. The Chargers, like, we can say the Chiefs are coughing up these turnovers. The Chargers executed exactly what they needed to. Like, Asante Samuel deserves hella credit for that interception on that ball, right? Like, some of these guys punching it out, like, the timing – the execution there, like, the Chargers at least deserve credit for forcing three of these turnovers. One of them was a total gift from the gods in the fourth quarter at the right time. But some of these were just excellent players making opportunistic plays and playing their hearts out. And they did it at Arrowhead and walked away with a win because of it.
Absolutely. And I got a question here from Matt Verderam. This one's from JPF8985. Semi-serious question. Does this team have an offensive scheme? Seems like too much of our offense is predicated on Pat and Travis Kelce freelancing their freelancing style and broken slash backyard plays.
Yeah, they do. Look, it's a lot of with the Chiefs. If you watch them, obviously a lot of it's predicated off pre-snap motion, and they like to try to get a guy make a false step here, false step there, and then they'll hit him. That's how they scored on the one play with Hardman on the jet sweep in the red zone. But if you watch the Chiefs, they run a lot of 3-by-1 concepts, which just means, if you're not familiar, they'll put three receivers on one side of the field, then they'll have another receiver isolated on what's called the backside of the play. They love to do that kind of stuff. And they really love to do it with Hill in the slot on the trip side and then Kelce backside isolated. And they get a lot of times you're kind of forced as a defense to either play Kelce man on man, or you have to, you know, bring a second guy over, but then you're playing with bad numbers on the other side. It really puts teams in a bind. Look, yeah, Kansas City's offense is great, right? Like, I don't I can't stress enough how unconcerned I am about them long-term offensively. I will give one more thing on Mahomes. I think he's got to get better at, and this is something that's going to happen for a while, but understandably for the last couple of years, he's got to stop bailing out of these pockets. Like, there have been plenty of times in the last couple of weeks where nobody's been pressuring him and he just takes off running. And sometimes you don't mind that because he's so dangerous outside the pocket. But sometimes it's like, why are you running out of the pocket, man? Just stand in there. You have really good interior offensive linemen right now. Look, Niang got baptized today by Bosa on the right side. But I thought it was pretty telling that the Chiefs did not give him help that whole game. Like, Kansas City clearly thought he could handle it. And look, he had some great snaps. He had some rough snaps. But overall, like, he'll be better for that. I just wanted to bring up one thing. I was thinking about this after the game because I had hundreds and hundreds of comments on my Twitter feed about how literally the Chiefs should fire everybody involved. They should get rid of everybody. Here's some perspective. Okay. We would all agree the New England Patriots are probably the greatest dynasty in NFL history, like 20 years of just being ridiculously great. The last Super Bowl they won, which was a team that was talented, but not like otherworldly talented, in my opinion. It's 2018, of course, the year they beat the Chiefs in the AFC title game. Their season started by winning 27-20 at home over the Texans. They then lost to Blake Bortles and the Jags in a laugher, went and played the Detroit Lions on Sunday Night Football in week 3 with Matt Patricia coaching and got clobbered 26-10. They then won the Super Bowl. Like, my point is, it's week 3. I'm as annoyed as anybody. And that's not to make an excuse. The Chiefs have sucked to this point. But I think sometimes you look at a team, if you're being honest with yourself, and go, you know what, we're just not as good as I thought. We're just not as talented. We don't have the chops. I don't feel like that looking at this team. Like, they have just gifted these games with bad mistakes and stupid turnovers and dumb blown coverages on the back end. Like, I'm not watching the Chiefs thinking, oh, well, they just don't have the goods. And by the way, if you look around the AFC, who is the team that you're like, man, that's it? I know the Raiders and Broncos are undefeated. Does anyone really think they beat the Chiefs in a playoff game? Does anybody really think they're going to beat out Kansas City? The South is awful. The Bills finally got a good game, first time in 3 weeks out of Josh Allen. They've played nobody to this point, so I have no idea what to make of them. The Steelers stink. The Ravens just needed Justin Tucker to kick a 66-yard field goal off the crossbar to beat Detroit. And Cleveland looked good against KC. Then even though they beat Houston, didn't look particularly good. And then they played the Bears, who are the Bears. If you said to me, you have to bet your mortgage, who's going to win the AFC? Probably Kansas City. Like, I would still take them. But they've got to get this stuff figured out. Like, there's no more BS here. Week 4, they've got to beat Philly. You cannot go in there and lose another game to a team that, this is the first time all year they're playing a team they're just flat out miles better than. Like, they're better than these other three teams, but those teams are good teams. They should kill Philadelphia. If they don't do that, then everybody and their mother should pile on.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny. We, as Chiefs fans, I think we've been in this. We stunk for so long. And then we got Mahomes. And then we were like, oh man, we're really good. Can we do it? Then we won the Super Bowl. And now it's kind of like the last 2 years, we barely lost and went straight back to the Super Bowl. So I think it's like, I think we need to gain a little bit of perspective as a fandom that, like, hey guys, listen, like, this is what happens, right? Now everybody hates us. Now everybody's glad we're losing. Now all the other teams, you know, the Ravens and the Chargers, this is their Super Bowl. They beat Mahomes. They beat the Chiefs, just like whenever we'd beat New England or we'd get a win against Pittsburgh or one of those teams every once in a while. We were like, yeah, man, we finally beat those guys. And it was super satisfying. But then at the end of the year, it was always New England. It was always Pittsburgh winning playoff games while the Chiefs were taking a first round exit if they made the playoffs at all. And I think we're reaching that now where this is winning consistently and the NFL is hard, even when you have a great roster and you have a transcendent quarterback like Patrick Mahomes and teams are giving you their best shot. They're throwing the kitchen sink at these guys every week, trying to figure out ways to beat them. And they have to adjust. That's part of the NFL, is making adjustments to what other teams are doing to you. And then generally what happens is once you make those adjustments, if you're better, you win. You win games. And so the Chiefs need to stop shooting themselves in the foot. But I agree with Matt. I think they're going to be fine. Let's talk a little bit about, kind of shifting gears a little bit, the running game, which has been atrocious so far this year for the Chiefs. Clyde Edwards-Helaire taking a lot of heat this week. Coming into this game, this was kind of a litmus test, right? The Chargers were not very good against the run. Could he get the game going? Could he get the running game going? Clyde goes out there, fumbles the ball early. That was rough, but actually had a really solid game running the football. 17 carries for 100 yards even. That's a 5.9 average. He had a 14-yard run. He looked good. He looked pretty decisive out there running behind this offensive line. And going up against a team and the Chargers, it was kind of tough defensively. They were getting a little bit of pressure. They were dropping a lot of guys back in coverage. And the Chiefs were able to hand the ball off multiple times in a row, which you almost never see, and move the ball against the Chargers and pick up some short yardage situations. Sterling Holmes, are you happy with what you saw out of Clyde? Is this a good sign for the Chiefs moving forward that they can run the ball when they need to?
Outside of the fumble, I was more, eh. I feel like this is what they should be doing. To be honest with you, when you have Mahomes, box isn't stacked, they're basically daring you to run. They're daring the Chiefs to run. This is what Clyde should do. If you're drafting the first round as a running back, this should be the minimum, right? This is just me. He doesn't look extremely explosive. He goes down a little too easily. He had a solid game, 100 yards on 17 carries. Nice. I want to see some more consistency. This should be a good building block game for Clyde. I'm not ready to say, all right, yeah, Clyde, he's the guy. Give him the keys to the car. Give him the keys. He's the guy I want to have 20-plus carries a game. Good start. Fumble, still an issue.
Yeah, the Chiefs as a team, now this is because of a few Mahomes scrambles as well. They ran the ball 30 times for 186 yards. Darrell Williams got 7 carries for 28 yards. He averaged 4 yards per carry, a couple good runs from McColl and Tyreek Hill. Matt Verderam, what's your take on this? Because I feel like they need to be doing this all the time.
I mean, they ran the ball well. They ran for over 6 yards a clip, right? It's hard to complain about that. I don't really care though. Like, to me, I know it's horrible, maybe podcast or TV analysis in the sense it's boring, but I just think it's accurate. Like, it's all this crap. Like, it's just about turnovers and beating yourself. Like, they ran the ball great. They threw the ball pretty well for the most part. I mean, look, some of that stuff of Mahomes gets dragged down at the end because they're throwing all over the field at the end and you get a bunch of incompletions in there. But like their offense in this game had 437 yards and 33 first downs. Like, you do that almost any other game, you score 38 points, you win going away. Like, the game was lost in the first quarter. And the whole game, by the way, and we haven't touched on this, I'm sure it's driving some Chiefs fans nuts. The game was also lost on 4th and 9 when the Chiefs could have gotten off the field and just couldn't be bothered to do it. And I know there's all this like, well, you know, is it pass interference? I don't know. We never really got a good look at it. I don't know if it was a good call or not. They called it on Sorensen, but I think they meant to call it on Baker, I think. I don't know if it was a good call or not. But you know what? That's 4th and 9. And by the way, it's pretty damn telling that the Chargers were like, we're not going to kick the field goal. We're going to go for it on 4th and 9 because your defense stinks. And we're just going to pick it up anyway. And they did. And so I don't know, bad call or not, but I think at some point defensively, you know what would have been great in that spot? An ounce of pressure. That would have been great. Like, Chris Jones is getting paid a fortune. Can he win a one-on-one matchup? Can he split a double? Jerron Reed. Did Jerron Reed pass away like these 3 weeks? Like, is he alive? Has anyone seen Jerron Reed ever? I like Derek Nnadi a lot, and he's not a pass rusher. Has Derek Nnadi made one play in 3 weeks? I mean, at some point, like, you have to make a play, man. Like, you've got to beat a guy off the block. And so to me, look, the running game was fine, not an issue. They run like that, that's great. But to me, this is all window dressing. If I'm the coaching staff this week, I'm screaming at them, ball security. And by the way, at Mahomes too, ball security. Take what's in front of you. Don't be a hero. Be smart. And defensively, my God, I'm just screaming at them in general. But in the red zone, make a stop. Get off the field. Turn 7s into 3s. And the front four in particular, win a battle. Get off your block. Do something. Because to me, if they clean up those areas, especially the two defensive ones, even to just a moderate degree, they will literally not lose another game. They are so explosive that if they limit themselves to a turnover a game and the defense being just decent in the red zone and just an average pass rush, forget it. They're not going to lose. But the problem has been they've been non-existent in those areas. I wanted to.
And here's some good news for everybody as we're talking about the misery that is a 1-2 start of the season. Our guy, I'm sure most of you who follow, you know, anything Chiefs news, Chiefs analysis out there, know that our guy Joshua Briscoe had a really scary health scare this week, and it was very public. So I'm not telling you anything behind the scenes, but he just tweeted 15 minutes ago. He's home and he's resting, and he's feeling much better. That's fucking awesome. Josh, we're so glad that you're okay and that you're doing well. And I know you felt the love from the Chiefs kingdom, but it's good to know that you'll be back soon. Helping us figure out what the hell is wrong with this team and how to fix it. So, just wanted to mention that because I just saw that tweet. All right. Let's keep it moving here. So let's talk about the run defense, because that was, I mean, coming into this game, now we're worried about turnovers. Last week it was, we have the worst defense in the history of the NFL, with all due respect to the Atlanta Falcons. So it was actually improved in this game. And this is a team that we thought, you know, would try to come out and run against the Chiefs. Matt Connor, the Chiefs defense was like a little bit stout, dare I say. They held the Chargers to 3.5 yards per carry on 22 rushing attempts. Austin Eckler got 11 totes for 55 yards. So he averaged 5 yards a carry. So maybe that's not so great. But the rest of the team didn't fare too well. Did you see some improvement there, or was it just a game flow thing that the Chiefs didn't get run all over?
I mean, sure. You know, the first quarter looked solid. I mean, look, anytime this defense is getting a three and out after the first two games is going to be cause for celebration, right? Like, I'm clinking glasses after the second three and out. And, you know, it was great. Even after those turnovers, I couldn't believe it was scoreless after one. That was crazy. But I mean, at the same time, I mean, you know, the Chargers, it's not like they have Derrick Henry. You know, I mean, like Eckler, you know, they've got like the Sproles kind of guy. You know, they've got Mike Williams. They've got Keenan Allen. And every one of those guys did what everyone thought that any one of those guys could do. Mike Williams got his. Keenan Allen got his. Eckler got his. You know, like Justin Herbert's putting up MVP numbers, just answering the Chiefs drive for drive. I mean, I was glad to see some improvement for sure. But I mean, it's what Matt was saying earlier. You know, it's like, where is any semblance of pressure? The Reed signing to me, it's just confounding. You know, in the preseason, we were talking about the leap from Turk Wharton. Where's that? You know, we were talking about the leap from Mike Dana, how he looked better. You know, we were looking so deep that we're like letting Tim Ward go and you know, Okafor is there in some sort of way. Like, there are multiple defenders who look like a shell of themselves. Like, multiple people have hit the wall this year where everyone's talking about like, oh, Belichick gets rid of guys a year early. We've got multiple guys who look like a year late. And that's really frustrating to me to watch. I'm glad we got a few three and outs, sure. But anyone in that locker room who looks at this and says, okay, yeah, we've started to solve our issues, I just hope that's not any message being conveyed right now. I hope everyone is feeling a real sense of desperation to put something together.
Yeah. I mean, look, the Chiefs were playing a lot more downhill. They did actually have 5 tackles for a loss, 1 from Hitch, 1 from Dana. Chris Jones got one. But let's talk about Chris Jones, Matt Verderam. This all we keep seeing, and multiple of you have asked in the chat, can we put Chris Jones back at defensive tackle? Matt Verderam, is that the cure here? Or I mean,
who the hell's playing end? Right. Then who's playing end for this team? You? Because you might be able to log some snaps right now. Who's playing?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, I don't know if I've got the strength.
Frank Clark's got hamstring issues, and that's plural at this point on both hamstrings. Alex Okafor looks like me playing defensive end currently. I mean, Mike Dana, actually, I thought he was the one guy today. He had a sack, a couple of pressure. Like, he actually looked like he like bothered to show up. The rest of this group, where are any of them? I mean, Joshua Kindo, fourth round pick, hood ornament, which, listen, fourth round pick is a rookie. I'm not crushing Joshua Kindo, but I'm just saying, like, right now, he's not doing anything. I don't think that's the answer. Like, I get it. It's I agree with Matt Connor in a lot of ways. And that is one thing, if you want to be a little nervous, it's like you look at them right now, and I'm just defensively, and you wonder, is this kind of like 2017 all over again defensively, where the wheels just came off and there was no putting Humpty Dumpty back together? You know, Clark's banged up again. You could basically write it in pen at this point. This is the last year he's playing in Kansas City. You've got Hitchens, who, I don't know, like, are you picking him back up for next year? Not based off these three games, you're not, right? Tyrann Mathieu has been very good. I don't have any problem with Tyrann Mathieu. I only bring his name up in this conversation because he is a free agent after this year, and I don't know what's going to happen there. I was sure they were going to sign him. Everything I understand is how much they value him, but here he is. He's not signed. Daniel Sorensen, who is a really polarizing guy in Kansas City, like, he looks like he can't run. I mean, he just looks like he's in mud. And again, another week, where is Juan Thornhill? Another guy, like, he belongs in a milk carton at this point. Like, where the hell is Juan Thornhill? They just don't play him. I don't understand. Like, the guy is incredibly athletic, but he doesn't play. And then you start looking at other guys. I mean, whether it be an Okafor, like I mentioned earlier, I mean, God, Ben Neiman, we don't even have to get into it. Don't even have to go there. But, like, we all know that situation. I kind of wonder if this is one of these things where, yeah, like, the wheels are just off the team at this point defensively. And it's just going to have to be, they're going to have to score 35. I'm not ready to go there yet. It's so early in the year. They've played really good teams. And I will say, I thought they were better defensively today. I'm not saying good. 30 points is 30 points, but better. Like, it felt like they at least had an answer for some things, whereas the first 2 weeks they didn't. Now you go play the Eagles. You play a team that has some weapons, but let's be real. They are not any of the three teams you just played. Like, this is a game I want to see. Can the defense hold them under 20 points? Can the defense show up and really, okay, you know, not I'm not saying hold them to a touchdown. Can you hold them to 20 or under? You know, I want to see it. I do think they made some strides this week. But again, pass defense is terrible, or pass rush is terrible. And the red zone defense is just an abomination. It's so bad. Like, guys, we can all agree on this. If that defense holds teams to a 3 every other time they're in the red zone, they will never lose a football game. Like, everybody's so jacked up about their run defense. Who cares? It doesn't matter. If they get off the field in the red zone, they will literally never lose. But they can't get off the field in the red zone. So I think that's got to be number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 points of emphasis for that defense.
And the Chiefs punted once today. So, I mean, obviously, other than the turnovers, right? But all of those turnovers came, they should have been scoring points, either field goals or touchdowns. So, you're right. And they're getting Willie Gay back, which is going to be important next week because they're playing a mobile quarterback and Jalen Hurts. That's somebody who can get out there and pick up first downs. The Chiefs don't want that. We had another question I want to get to from our guy, Cheeto Freak. Teams seem to be figuring out the Chiefs offensively and that we're having more problems moving the ball at will. Perhaps time to change our approach. I don't know if I agree with that. Matt Connor, what's your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I agree with that. I feel like our offense is just fine. I mean, if people are, you know, playing us deeper and we're having to take what's underneath, that's just what we're doing. I'm fine with that. I'm fine with methodical drives versus one play drives. I don't care how we score. We score. No one's stopping us from scoring. I want to take it back. I don't mean to drive the ship here, but let me step at the wheel, because here's what, if you're looking at a 17 game season, we're talking about some of the defensive guys looking like a shell of their former self. What would it hurt to throw Josh Kando at defensive end rather than Okafor? To throw Thornhill in over Sorensen, to throw, you know, Gay and Bolton in full time, and Darius Harris in over Ben Neiman? Like what would it hurt if you lose some fundamentals, if you gain some athleticism, if you've got guys who are already like they're a known floor and it's a low floor and the ceiling's not there. Like what does it hurt to let some of these guys play and learn on the job when the defense is already playing as bad as it is? I guess I'm just curious what you guys think about, hey, let's throw out some projects and let them learn if the known quantities that we have aren't getting the job done.
That's a good point. Yeah.
I agree wholeheartedly, man. I don't get it. And, you know, you look at, like, I don't want to just use him as a punching bag here, but Ben Neiman, I think, is the worst player that plays significant snaps on the Chiefs. God bless him, tries. He's not that talented. And to me, he's a special teams player who's masquerading as a starter because they don't have good enough play there. Now, I do think when Gay comes back, and my understanding is there's a real chance he will come back this week, I think that's who's coming off the field, right? And so potentially there's a big upgrade there. But I also think it's a little bit of a danger to say, oh, well, Willie Gay's just a cure-all. Like, well, no, I mean, how many games has Willie Gay ever played? And we have no idea. I know he's athletic, can move. I'll take that. But I do wonder, like, when I watch Ben Neiman getting torched in one-on-one coverage, it's like, do you know how bad Dorian O'Daniel must be? Like, I can't even imagine how bad he must be in practice. The man must be a human potato. Like, they won't try him? I mean, you know, you have to know if you're Spagnuolo and you're putting Neiman in man coverage, you know it's like playing Russian roulette with five bullets in the chamber, right? Like, you know it is.
Yep.
And yeah. You're still like, I don't care. I won't put anyone else out there. And I do believe that their coaching staff is top notch, which tells me that they either think these guys behind players like Neiman and Sorensen just have no clue how to execute the defense. They don't trust them. Or they just think they stink, which I can't speak to the guys as much behind Neiman. The Thornhill thing, I'll never understand it. It has to be a thing where they do not believe in Thornhill to execute the defense the way it's drawn up. It has to be, because there's no way on earth anyone with eyes can watch those two players and think to themselves, yeah, Daniel Sorensen's a more talented player. But I also wonder, look, Veach has always been aggressive. Do they make a trade before the deadline? Like, do they just say, look, we are not going to win like this? And you start looking around, and I am unprepared to sit here and say who that person would be. Do you call up the Texans about Whitney Mercilus? Call them up? I mean, do you make that phone call? Do you call up Jacksonville? I mean, you know, hey, what would DJ Chark cost? I don't know. But I think if you're the Chiefs, you kind of have to at least think about it. And again, though, I do think you look at the AFC, as we sit here, assuming Kansas City can just play 20% better in some of these phases that we know they should play 20% better in, who's beating them? Like, as long as the Chiefs clean up some of the nonsense, I don't know. I mean, Cleveland, Buffalo, Baltimore, I still believe the Chiefs are in a really good spot because of the talent and the coaching with the team. But at some point, like, you got to do it. And I guess I have confidence in him because the last 2 years would give you a lot of confidence. The last 3 years, hell, would give you a lot of confidence. But I don't know, man. I mean, today, that game was just an absolute choke job from soup to nuts. Like, I don't know how you lose that game. I don't know how you lose a game at home after you choked away a game last week. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's time to start looking around at the rest of the teams in the league that have players that you think the Chiefs should add and hope that they lose, right, over the course of the next few weeks. You don't want the Texans rattling off a couple and then, you know, feeling themselves and being like, we got to keep this together. We got a shot at making the playoffs. You want them to lose. You don't want Tua Tagovailoa to come back. I'm not saying I want the man to be injured or his career, but you want Miami to keep losing. You want some of these teams that might
be
looking
to come back.
Yeah, that's a fair point. But looking at some of these teams to that have some veterans that they know that they're not going to keep, that they might want to move, that the Chiefs might want to rent on offense and in defense. Maybe they trade for a couple of defensive players. And I agree with you, Matt Connor. Just put some of these guys out there. Maybe you don't want to put them all out there, but for Christ's sake, man, like, it can't get any worse. It can't get any worse than, and O'Daniel, we've seen him on the field. he at least doesn't look like he's running in quicksand. And you got Ben Neiman out there who looks like somebody chopped off his feet. And he's I tweeted a gif of a turtle in relation to Ben Neiman today, trying to get to the edge. All right. Look, we know the defense has to be better. They played with a little bit more intensity this week, I would say, and they got a little bit more pressure on the quarterback. So we'll take that heading into a game against a suspect Eagles team. But as far as the rest of the season goes, before we get out of here, and I want to throw this to you, Sterling, we're 1-2. We're in last place in the AFC West after 3 weeks. We played three playoff teams, we think. Rough go, new pieces, all that, yada, 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 long season. How does this change the Chiefs season for you? Because I think we all talked about how if they came out and won three of the first four, or, you know, they had a real chance to take control of the AFC and the number one seed. And now forget about all that. Like just try to get back to 500. How do you think this impacts the way this team plays for the rest of the season?
It's over. Pack it in. Don't even play the games. No, yeah. I mean, they're going to win 12, 13, 14 games. I'm honestly not worried at all. Trust me, I'll throw another five down on the Chiefs winning at least 12 and a half games. I'll take the over. I'm not worried. Like we all said, they've made a lot of mistakes. It's Verderam brought up a good point. That Patriots team that won the Super Bowl started off 1-2. It's not about how you start. It's how you finish. No major injury so far, right? That's got to be a positive. Offensive line starting to gel, looks a little bit better. That's got to be a positive. Mahomes is hitting other receivers, not named Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. They're still running backwards, DeMarcus Robinson. But still, that's still got to be a positive. Noah Gray got his first catch. Joey Fortson caught a touchdown, almost dropped it, but still caught it. There's positives to take from here. We're going to see Juan Thornhill eventually. No way Dirty Dan, who, by the way, you may have gotten three pieces of paper underneath him on that jump to try and break up that touchdown pass. It was impressive, that height he got. But I'm not worried. Will I get Junior's coming back? Dan Sorensen is not going to continuously be out there. Neither's Ben Neiman. I'm fine. If the over under 12 and a half, rip the over. I'm still excited.
I wanted to ask, it's just as we were talking about this, and I'll just open this up to everybody. Is this the last ride for Dirty Dan in Kansas City?
Oh, yeah. I don't think there needs to be much explaining, but yeah, I think this has got to be the last year, or at least if he comes back, it's going to be as a part-timer. There's no way he lasts another year playing 190% of snaps. That would be absolutely asinine.
Yeah, we were joking about this on Twitter. I think it was Matt Connor and I. Matt Verderam is Dirty Dan like an upgraded model of John McGraw?
Daniel Sorensen's had a really good career for the Chiefs. Like I really do almost get like borderline annoyed, not at you, Patrick, but in this case, a little bit at you, Patrick, like just in general. like Daniel Sorensen's had a really good career for the Chiefs. And I got to tell you, in all the years I've been a Chiefs fan, I could count on one hand, and it wouldn't need the whole hand, how many guys have come up with more clutch plays in their careers for the Chiefs. I mean, they don't win the Super Bowl without Daniel Sorensen that year because they would not have beaten Houston. Like, I really believe that. That game between the play he made on the fake punt and then subsequently forcing a fumble on the kickoff. Listen, he, I think, is getting to the end of his useful time as a player. And I do believe they should move away from him. But he has had a very, very good career for the Chiefs, especially as an undrafted free agent. I know we're wrapping, so I'll just go here. Look, going forward, here, I'll give a bold prediction. They will not lose more than two games the rest of the year.
Wow.
I really believe that. I really, because they're so, like, it's, they're not losing these games because they're getting outplayed and they're just not as talented. And I'd argue they've played three of the top 10, 11 teams in football. They're losing these games because they're beating themselves. And I don't think they're going to continually beat themselves. They're too prideful. They're too well coached. They're too talented. Like, I just firmly believe, you know what I honestly believe? I think they're going to kill Philadelphia. That's what I think. Honestly, maybe we end up walking this back and in a week, I'm a dope. And if I am, I'll eat it. I think they're going to go to Philadelphia. They're going to be impressive. They're going to win the game. They're going to come back home and they're going to get in that game of Buffalo. And I got to tell you, I like their chances. I really feel they cannot play any worse. And they've played three really good teams. And look, they are absolutely a bounce or two from 0-3. They're also a bounce or two away from 3-0, like easily. So I still believe this team is a 13-win football team. I still think they're the best team in the AFC. I don't think it's particularly close. I really don't. Like, when they play the way they can play, I don't. And I watched the Pats for 20 years do this crap, where they start the year 2-2 and 3-2 and 4-3, and everybody's throwing dirt on them. And then, oh, dear God, here comes New England. And it's December, and nobody can stop them. And Brady's figured it out, and Belichick's figured it out, and the defense is playing better. And then they get into the playoffs, and you're like, oh, my God, that team's going to win it again, aren't they? They're just Nobody wants to see them. I watched New England do it for 20 years. And I think sometimes, because we're all Chiefs fans, it's easy to panic because it's your team and you assume the worst. But I got to tell you, I'm not going there. Like, I really am not. They cannot be worse with ball security and in the red zone. It's impossible. They can only get better. And if they get this much better, they're going to kick everybody's ass because they're just better. Like, I really believe that. We'll see. Maybe they prove me a fool. I don't think they will.
Nobody's going to get you more ready to run through a wall in your Patrick Mahomes jersey than Matt Verderam. We hear it all the time when people listen to this podcast. Verderam gets me so fired up. It's great. Me too. I feel so much better. Listen, if you're out there right now and you're watching, and there are a bunch of you on the YouTube channel, are you subscribed? Because if you're not, head on over there, or you're there, hit that subscribe button. We need you. And it's because we're going to be keep, it's not just these shows. In the last like 2 weeks, we've had Alex Smith, Tony Gonzalez, Byron Pringle, Mitchell Schwartz, all on the Arrowhead Addict YouTube channel. And oftentimes we run these interviews in the feed, in the audio version, but a lot of times you'll get them early on the YouTube channel. So you want to be subscribed. You want to see these things as they come out. So please hit the subscribe button. Thank you so much for your support. As we're ending kind of on a positive note, we have an award to give out. So back when we launched this podcast, it's been about a year since Verderam and I started working on the podcast, and then Matt and Sterling joined us after the first season here. I came up with a bunch of segment ideas for us to have to throw out every once in a while to give awards. We don't use them that often, but this one we've never given it out before, and I'm very pleased to present this award. It's the Bobby Scipio Award for Underdog Wide Receiver Excellence, and it's going to Jody Fortson. Even though he's technically a tight end, there's no bigger underdog probably on this team than Jody Fortson. Catches his first touchdown pass today. He was jacked. You could tell his teammates were jacked for him. Matt Connor, is it Fortson season?
It's Fortson season. I love him. That length, those hands. Did you see that guy go up? It was like the bottom of the football. What I love about it is on Twitter afterward, there were like a handful of Chiefs practice squad players who were like congratulating him. And even like Maurice French, who I think should be French because it had like multiple F's in the front of it there, even said something like, yo, you almost made me cry or something like that. Like seeing Fortson succeed and come up so big at such a key moment was emotional for some of the guys who fought right alongside him. So yeah, he's easy to root for. That's for sure.
And I got to get to you guys are so great. And you leave us the reviews over on Apple Podcasts. Another fun one as we get ready to head out here. This one from John Bafam, my go-to Chiefs podcast. This is a good question. Question. If you had an entire team made up of Mahomes clones on both sides of the ball, and a whole team made up of honey badger clones on the other side of the ball, who would win?
Well, Mahomes is always one step faster than whoever's chasing him. That's just the rules. So Mahomes is always going to be faster.
I think we got to, you know, some of the folks over at, I think John Boyce over at SB Nation would do his Breaking Madden series, which was great fun. maybe we got to fire up a version of our own and just make that happen in Madden. Just create a whole team of Tyrann Mathews, a whole team of Mahomes, and see what happens. I think we know what happens, right? It's Mahomes' offense, but I don't know, man. You know, he's not going to be much of a receiver, and you got the honey badger roaming around out there. Could get some interceptions going, could get weird. I love it. Thank you for that question. You guys can leave us questions like that, and we will read them on the podcast. There are more we'll get to later in the week, but head on over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review. So that's your homework. Subscribe to the Arrowhead Addict Podcast on YouTube. Head on over to Apple and leave us a 5-star written review, and we'll read your review on the air. Schedule this week, Tuesday, Matt and Sterling. They'll be back. They'll put a bow on this one. They'll start talking about next week's game against Philly. Thursday, Verderam and I will be there. We'll have our preview for the Philly game. And then, of course, we'll all be back here, or some of us will be back here, on Sunday for the Chiefs and the Eagles. Any final thoughts before we head out? Sterling, Matt?
Calm down. Chiefs are fine. Don't panic. R-E-L-A-X.
The famous Aaron Rodgers quote. Matt Connor, any words of peace to leave these guys with?
No, I mean, I think everyone's right. I'm just ready to get the ghosts off the field and let the rookies play, man. I think the defense could show some surprise.
I love it. And Matt Verderam.
Better beat Philly. I was fine. I'll be right. Yeah. You better beat Philly, or it's going to be a nuclear reaction on Sunday, and rightfully so. But you better beat Philadelphia. And not in one of these games that's a crap show either. Like, win the game. Walk away feeling good about yourselves. If they do, I think they're fine. I really do. But they better beat Philly.
If the Chiefs beat the Eagles, it'll be Andy Reid's 100th win as Chiefs head coach. Pretty incredible if he gets to do it against Philly. Maybe this was the scheme all along, that they met up and they're like, hey, we want Andy. We want Big Red to get it against the Eagles. That's what I'm going to tell myself. That's the lie I choose to believe. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Arrowhead Addict Podcast live Chiefs post-game show. We'll see you next week. But right now, we got to get out of here. My wife ordered some pizza, and frankly, I need a beer. So thank you so much for watching and listening out there. We'll see you next week. But as always, go Chiefs.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.